He'll be at spring training. He's in Arizona with the Rockies and all the other major league teams playing in the Cactus League. Tracy, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Well, you said, you know, barely got out of the 50s there today. That was our wind today, barely getting out of the 50s.
I keep seeing those high wind warnings, and I said, dang, I wish I was there so I could blow through my hair, right?
It was funny. I was walking back down from downtown. I was walking back to the station from a place up downtown, and I had a stocking cap over my baseball cap. Both of them blew off my head today when a gust of wind came over. I don't even know how that happens, how your stocking cap and baseball cap can get blown off your head.
That's just part of the joy of living in Cheyenne.
Charm.
That's why we're there.
It's the charm, right?
Of the ambiance.
That's why the air's clean.
Yeah, we blow all the pollution to Nebraska.
Yeah.
Tracy, is it an experiment? I've been reading stuff about Charlie Blackmon maybe not taking the leadoff spot. Is that more just talk, hot air? What is that all about right now?
I think it's all about whether or not who they feel comfortable with putting in that position at the top. And, you know, Desmond is a guy they seem to be most interested in using there and seems to be responding to it. But they're also looking at the young outfielders like Dahl and Tauchman and Tapia. So I have a feeling the left fielder, whoever it is, will wind up being the leadoff hitter.
Do you think that's a good move? I mean, just your opinion, is that a good move? Would Blackmon benefit from, where would he move? Like, what, 2, 3, 4, something like that?
He'd hit 3. He'd hit between LeMahieu and Arenado. And, you know, I think it's a good move if they get someone at the top that gets on base. And so why not, if he can drive in 104 runs hitting leadoff, I mean, move him down where he's got a chance to have someone besides the pitcher hitting directly in front of him would take advantage of what his skill set is. He just has to stay the same type of hitter he's been to do it. He can't all of a sudden think that he's got to make a miraculous change in his approach to the game.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here in the program. So I don't know how much you've gotten to see since you've been down there of the Rockies. What have you seen though from them? What do you like? What are some of the things that they're working on right now? What just kind of tell us what you've been able to look at.
I think the exciting part has been to watch the young outfielders. Dahl had a slow start. He was like 0 for 15. I think he was just pressing a little bit, but then he hit home runs in back-to-back games and started to show some life. Tapia is just building off what we saw last year, and now he's driving the ball very well to left center field the opposite way. Hit one over the fence that way, hit one off the fence that way the other day. And so, see that? And then Tauchman suddenly is having the power that which come with his body. I mean, he could be a middle linebacker. And he wouldn't be undersized, but he's extremely quick. And his game had really been built on putting the ball in play and being fast. And all of a sudden, last year, he started to develop some power skills. So, you know, they've been fun to watch. I think the maturation of McMahon has been good. I mean, I think he'll be ready to play first base. It's Rogers is showing a lot of bat, but you can still tell he's a kid coming out of A ball, and he's a year or two away. But you know, I think in the Rockies' grand plan, that's fine. They'd like to think that he could be ready by next year if he could split the season between Double A and Triple A, or start the season in Triple A, and then they'll have to replace the second baseman because in all likelihood, LeMahieu will become a free agent, so he could be a guy that could step in right there. And well, that's what they feel like they need to do is develop and bring these kids along. They've got a farm system that seems to have some pretty good prospects coming out of it. I think we saw that last year with the pitching. I found out something with the help of Stats Inc. that last year, you know, we know the Rockies rookie pitchers were good. That's the fourth largest win total for rookies in a rotation since 1913.
Wow.
So, I mean, they were even better than we thought. We knew they blew everyone away last year. But when that happens, you start to think, well, you know, other teams just didn't have that many rookies pitching. But you start to go back over time. That was pretty impressive, particularly it got them into the postseason with those kids.
I hope Dave takes everything back that bad that he ever said about the starting pitching then last year based off of that stat.
No, the most ones I talked bad about left.
Chatwood?
Yeah.
he's with your Cubs now.
Not my Cubs. Don't even start down that road.
Right. Well, 2 years ago, you thought you were.
Oh, I have never been
a, off the band, off the bandwagon.
Nah, Reese has been the Cubs. Yeah. I've never been the Cubs fan.
Reese and Jeremiah are the Cubs fans around here.
Oh, okay.
So Dahl not showing any effects of that rib injury from last year. He is completely healed and all that?
It appears so. I mean, you know, every day you kind of wait to see what's going to happen. It was such a strange thing. It wasn't, you know, it was a rib injury, but it was really where the rib connected to the backbone or something back there. You know, on the backside, it was something that it took forever to really narrow it down and then get it healed. And he didn't swing a bat from July 31st until early February. Wow. They just didn't want to do anything to flare it up. And I think he went 0 for his first 15 here, and I really think it was more of being anxious. I mean, we saw what he could do for 2 months, 2 years ago, and it was impressive. And then all of a sudden, he has back-to-back days with the home runs where the ball just explodes off his bat. So I think he's a pretty exciting player to watch.
Nothing on the free agent market lately, huh?
No, I mean, I don't see them really doing much of anything at that point. It would be interesting if they would try to bring LaCroix back for a 1 year deal, but I don't think that'll happen. And I don't really know that they have any place else where, if I was them, I'd go out and try to get onto the free agent market. It'd be nice to have cargo around, but when you start to see some of these young kids that are outfielders, I mean, you need to create room for them at some point. And it's not like they're rushing any of these kids that would be candidates to the big leagues. I mean, they've all had their time at AAA. They've all done their job there. And, that's how I think you have your long-term success, is if you can get those kids and give them the opportunity at some point.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program, InsideTheSeams.com. I'm curious how some of the new acquisitions have done. Wade Davis, Brian Shaw, Chris Iannetta, have they actually made any appearances really right now?
Well, the relievers, the veteran relievers are all making their first appearance this week. Bud's had them pitching in B games or camp games, simulated games, just to get the throw it in. He's not that worried about pushing them early. Iannetta had a couple home runs in a game the other day. He's a guy that, you know, he'll probably catch around 90 games. There's another thing that stunned me. They've only had 7 catchers in their history start over 100 games. 117 is the club record. But I think that's because of endurance and the altitude. They don't want to, run those guys into the ground.
Okay, I was going to ask you, is that more of an injury thing or is that by plan?
I think it's been by plan, because it's not like guys have gotten hurt. I mean, I think it's just more of, in making adjustments, if you're going to talk about the demands of the altitude that people want to talk about, well, what pitch position is more physically demanding than catching?
Right. So, and
there's no catch your breath moment when you're the catcher.
So they like, from what you're saying, they really like what McMahon's been able to do right now at first base. Do you think he'll be the opening day starter at first?
Yeah, I mean, he's done fine at the plate. He's an excellent athlete. I mean, he played a little at third, and he played a little at, and then he played some second last year, but he played some third down here also, which is his original position. But this is a very athletic kid. This is he was a quarterback at Modern Day High School in Orange County, which is known for its quarterbacks. And so it's not like he was just some guy named Joe that they threw in there. I mean, he's an athlete that his priority was always baseball. And his senior year, he kind of faded on the football front because he wanted to really focus on his baseball and had the full ride to SC and signed with the Rockies instead. And no, he looks very comfortable at first base because he's got the hands to be over there. And he doesn't mind playing second base, little or third. And I think if you go with eight pitchers in your bullpen, the flexibility of your roster becomes that much more important, because now you're down to 13 pitchers total, and then you've got a starting eight is 21. You're down to 4 backups, at least one of which will be a catcher. So you've got to have some flexibility with guys as far as positions they can play.
Excellent as always, Tracy. We appreciate it. Again, Tracy Ringlesby, InsideTheSeams.com. Thank you so much, and enjoy it out there, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Hey, it's always a little more lively when we have Dave with us.
You know, I hope the weather improves so that you're not, you know, you're not in that 50-degree weather, you know.
Well, I want to get my tan.
Yeah. I got your tan.
Thank you, Tracy.
Goodbye.
There you go.